The Lord keeps reminding me and sending me back to Galatians since quite some time. I had started on that, I think, as last fall. But something that new, which I hadn't seen or understood. And when I saw a particular scripture, which is Galatians 3:8, it stopped me. I couldn't understand for the life of me what that represented. And if you look at the very third word in that scripture, and it says, and the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached to Abraham beforehand, saying, in your seed, in you. In other words, it doesn't say the word seed in that particular verse, but it sends you back to a verse in Genesis chapter 12. But it says, in you, all the nations of shall be blessed. So you could have said of the nations, but all the families of the nations will be blessed in you. So in other words, what he's saying, in Abraham there is a seed of promise that would come, but the majority of the Jewish people, and sadly enough, the church always thought that as Christ came and went to the death and burial and resurrection, then that through the preaching of faith, that they would be the seeds of Abraham. That is not what the word is saying. Because the word seed is singular, as you will find in Genesis chapter 12. I believe it's verse 13 or verse 18. Because it talks about a seed. And if you look a little further in the book of Galatians, in verse 3:16, and it explains, now to Abraham and his seed. I don't know about your Bible. Do you have a capital S for the word seed?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. You have?
In okay. The Amplified, not in the...
No?
In the Amplified, it's capital, but not in the King James.
Well, this I'm reading from the King James, a New King James. And
no, it's not.
In the one I have here, it's a capital S. And in his seed were the promises made. He does not say, and to seeds, plural.
Correct.
As of many, but as of one. And to your seed, who is Christ. So in other words, all what was promised to Abraham was the coming Messiah. He was the seed to whom the promises were made. And I questioned that. The first thing I questioned was the other, verse 8 is, the scripture foreseeing. The scripture speak?
Sure it does.
Yeah, well, but see, I didn't know. I couldn't figure that out because scripture to everybody and I don't know those that I've been brought up in my the same way as I was. Scripture is just letters on the pages of a book, and they call that scripture because they're holy. But the scripture foreseeing, and I saw that very same thing repeated in the Old Testament somewhere. I forget what the verse was, but again, the scripture foreseeing or the scripture speaking. I said, Lord, what is it? What are you trying to say? I am speaking. It was God who gave the promise to Abraham.
Yeah.
It was God himself. He is the Holy Writ. He is the Holy One. And he is the one that had all of this prepared, even from before the foundation of the world. But even in the olden days, he could not find a man who would stand in the breach and be willing to give his life for the redemption of mankind. So he cut a covenant with himself. In that he brought his son, the Word took upon himself flesh. When we read and study John chapter 1, and the Word became flesh. So the Word, in normality, in our own understanding, is something that proceeds out of our mouth. We're speaking words. But in this particular instance, that seed of promise, which is the Word, and if you go to John chapter 1, verse 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Well, that very same seed put on flesh. But it also says in the Bible that he divested himself of all of his power and authority and became a man like unto us, born of a woman, born under the law. So he gave up all of this. Why? It took me a while to find out, but it came to a point where I realized that a man had sold the dominion of this world to the enemy. And the enemy now had that power and authority to do whatever it is that he wanted. But for a long time I questioned that, until I started to study the gospel, where it says that when Jesus was tempted in the desert, he never denied, saying that no, he didn't have authority. Because Satan was said to him in one of the temptations, all of these kingdoms and all of these people have been given unto me, and I give it to whomsoever I will. If that was wrong, Jesus at that point would have been able to deny it, but he didn't. And that kind of took me aback. I said, wow. So he really came as a full human being without power or authority to override all of this. So he himself had to become absolutely and totally dependent on the Holy Spirit sent by his Father when he was baptized in the Jordan after he came out of the water. It says that the Holy Spirit came down upon him in the form of a dove, and he was baptized. And that's from that point on, the Word says, he was pushed by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted of the enemy. All of this was to bring him the strength necessary to do the work that was ahead, because he had been sent already with a purpose, which was buying back that which belonged to the Father, his creation. But no man could pay that price, because if a man just like myself and I, or you, Kim, or anybody else here, were to try to pay that price and even went through a death, once you're dead, that's it. Game over. Because why? We were under that dominion. The enemy had that authority in our lives at that time, before the death and burial of Christ. He was in authority. So even if we went to the cross and died, it wouldn't have done much, because once they're dead, we're dead. That's it. There can't be any resurrection. But when his son, who was sinless, here's the kicker, his sinless son, who knew no sin, who was under the dominion of the Father and not of Lucifer, when Lucifer accused him and tried anything, then he had to deal. See, the Lord had to really rely on the Holy Spirit to give all the proper and right answers. If we go to the temptation, we'll find that The Lord defeated Satan with the scripture. It is written. And the answers to all three of the temptations are written in the Old Testament. Deuteronomy 8, Deuteronomy 6, and Deuteronomy 4. All three are in there, word for word. But if you will look at the answers of the New Testament in Matthew 4 and compare them with the ones in Deuteronomy, you will find that the Lord only spoke the portion of the scripture that was given to him by the Father. There's a part of the verse that is left out from the Old Testament in what he answered in the New. So even though he knew these scriptures, he only gave out in reply to the enemy what the Father, through the Holy Spirit, gave him. That's all that he was needed. So that comes back to the point where, since we have been redeemed, the importance of be listening to the voice of the Father, because it's the Father's work. Through Jesus, Jesus is in us now by his Spirit. But the Father is the one that gives the command. He's the one that leads. And it, you will find in the Old Testament, as you study, that God himself says, everything on this universe, and especially on this planet, it all belongs to him. He is the one that has the absolute power and authority. And his son at the resurrection morning said this, in the last chapter of the book of Matthew, he said this, behold, all authority has been given to me, where? In heaven and on earth. He never mentions the other part, under the earth or nothing like that. He says, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and in earth. Therefore, go ye in my name. It's the in my name that is so important that a lot of people forget, oh yeah, now we have Christ Jesus, we have all the power and the authority, and we can do anything. Wrong. You can't do just anything. You have to be listening to the voice of God in you by his Spirit, which he has given unto you, because he is the one that holds all the authority. Not you, not me. That's why when you look in a lot of churches, they try to do this and that, casting the enemy out, and no, nothing works. People are still bound up, not delivered or healed or whatsoever. Why? People have taken this word and put their own interpretation on what the word is really saying. It's when we start to really study and look to the word and ask the Holy Spirit, oh, what is it that you're trying to teach me? What is it that you're trying to show me? Just like when I questioned about the scripture speaking, at the time I didn't know. Man, that really blew my mind. The scripture speaking? Until the Lord showed me, I am the scripture. Oh, wow. Now that changes everything. And then you go to these, and then you realize that, hey, the promises of life eternal were made to Jesus, who is the seed that was promised to Abraham. It was Christ. And where does Christ live now? Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 is your answer. Because when Jesus went to the cross, he did not go there alone. Every one of us, we were all placed upon him. In reality, what it is saying is that old man, that old spirit that was in us, got taken out by the Father and placed upon Jesus. Because the Word of God says he removed sin, singular, not plural. So what was he actually taking up? is the power, the one who had the power and the authority of sin, because he had become our God. He was the one that was ruling, and he was turning us whichever way he wanted. And at first I had a hard time with that. So I started asking the Lord, how can you prove that to me, that he could do it? And he said, do you remember a little instance in the gospel where James and John, who were referred to as the sons of thunder, because somebody refused to do something according to the word of God, and they were just going around doing it on their own. So James and John said this: let's call down the fire of God upon them and destroy them, remove them off of the earth. But what was Jesus' response to that? He looked at them. You are of your father, the devil, and the works of your father, the devil, you will do. Whoa. They were followers of Jesus. They walked around for 3.5 years with him. They saw him doing all of his miracles. And not only that, they were sent out by him at one point, and they, even themselves, performed miracles. But the word says that the Holy Spirit was with them, and the Holy Spirit was doing the miracles. It's okay. All they did is obey the voice of the Father speaking through Jesus, and then it worked. But on their own, they couldn't do a thing. So when they received the new birth, and you'll find something in the last chapter of the Gospel of John, that even before he ends the chapter, he says that the Lord breathed upon them, and he said, receive the Holy Spirit. There is another error where the church has missed it in many, many ways. But let's not make the same mistake. That's the new birth, because they had believed on him. Because right after, he says to them before the ascension, he says, wait here in Jerusalem. Don't leave Jerusalem until you have been endued with power from on high. Does he say authority? But I've been hearing, and this is about the saddest thing that I've ever heard in many churches. And I know it's not given here, because I know Kim very well, so I know that it's not that way, but in most churches, so that's why it's important to pray for most of the people, because it's given out this way. You have been given the authority to do this. I know in the church where I go, that's how it's preached. And that saddens me, but try to tell it to them. They're not prepared to receive it yet, because they think and they're as sure they could put their hands in fire, and they're sure that, hey, we have the authority. We can do it. Sometimes I feel like asking them, my own brothers and sisters, oh yeah, you have the authority. You see that person there that is very sick? Go ahead and heal them. If you have that authority, go and heal them. Just the same way the Lord did. Oh, can't do that. I thought you just said to me that you have the authority. If you have the authority, then you're able to do the works of God and everything that Jesus did. Oh, well, I tried it, it doesn't work. If they would only understand this particular portion. God said to them, you will receive power. He never said that you will receive authority. Because when he comes and lives within you, he is the power and the authority. But the power, he can give you that power by his Holy Spirit that he places upon you to be able to do the works. But when he leads you and tells you, go and do this, but then you've got to ask him, Lord, what do you want me to do about that person or about that case? There are many times I receive things. Well, Lord, do you want me to give it out? And you know, sometimes it amazes me. No, it's not time. They're not prepared, they're not ready or able to take it or receive it. Lord, it's in your word. Yes, it's in my word, but they're not prepared. They've been sold a lie for so many years that it has become a principality in their lives. They're bound by what they have heard, by the messages that they have been given all of these years. But if we will go to the Word and question the Lord about everything that we read, you open it, you want to know, because in each verse there is so much truth hidden that when you receive the revelation by the Holy Spirit, it changes your view and your understanding of what is written in there. And then at first, my understanding, I had a little bit of a problem with that too. Because our understanding sometimes is so far off, it's not even funny. And he brought me to the book of Proverbs. Oh, when I saw that, I said, okay, Lord, now you got me good. Because in Proverbs chapter 8, he says this, I am understanding, in verse 14. Verse 12, the very first part of the word, he says, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence. But in verse 14, he says, I am understanding. Oh. So, it makes a wheel coming right back to what it says in Galatians 2:20. I died because the Father placed that old man that I was before on Christ Jesus and destroyed it at Calvary Street. And now, it's no longer me that lives. It is Christ who lives in me. And even this life that I live right now in this flesh, I don't live it by my faith. It is by the faith of the Son of God. In other words, it is Christ's faith, not mine. My job is to just believe in His work and thank Him for it, for accomplishing it, because He's the one that's going to do it. And He's the one, as I get in that space, He is the one that will change me and transform me into His likeness. In other words, He's removing all of the wrong things from within me. He's destroying it, casting it out, and burning it. And how did I get these four things that He's doing? Because I always thought it was negative. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4. Verse 10, pardon me. And I always wondered how come and why I chose for my email address Jeremiah 1:10. Because I always thought the first four items were negative until He showed me what it was all about. He has come to destroy, to cast out, and remove and burn every works of the enemy in my life. Right down to every little remnant of roots that are still in many of us. We all have little corners that are not cleansed yet, but He wants to destroy it. But it's when we're ready and we give it to Him willingly, it's easy. But it's when we fight that to hold on to a certain part that He's showing us, that's when it gets a little hard going. But then the next two words of Jeremiah 1:10 is this. He's got to rebuild us. I thought it was kind of fun. I thought, I'll plant seed and then the building will come up. No. He's got to build the house, rebuild it, brand new, and then plant the seed of life. Because the two have a hard time cohabiting together. And that's why a lot of people have conflicts going up in this little... In French, there's a little word that we say that's so funny. We call it la folle du logis. Kim would understand that. Because our head can go off in all kinds of crazy ways, and the imagination, the feelings, and everything, which are all items that were mentioned tonight, they can go in all kinds of direction, and they're not always from God. But you see, his work, if we will do it his way, give up the control of our own lives and let him bring about a change in us. Let him remove what is wrong in us. And at this point, I just want to bring a little bit of a testimony. It started early in life for me. When I was about 24, 25, I wanted to get married. I was going out with this young lady for a long time, and I was getting ready, so I bought the rings, and I was on the point of asking her to get married. And when I asked her, and I took out the box with the rings, she kind of looked at me and laughed at me, at my face. What in the world is going on? And then later on, I found out that all of the time that I had been going out with her, she was sleeping around with my best buddies after I would bring her home. And I found that out. It had to be God that allowed me to hear what I heard. Because one day I'm sitting in a restaurant, and I don't know if you remember, back in the late 60s, early 70s, there were restaurants that had, you know, booth and high backs, so you don't see what's sitting in the next booth over. Like, I could be sitting here with my back this way. I can't see what booth's sitting there. And here's a couple of guys, and I thought I recognized the voices. And they were talking about this girl that, man, she was a hot number. And the more I listened, I said, what is going on? The things that they were saying, and especially when they said certain nights, they said that we waited for her and her boyfriend would drop her off at such a time. She'd go in, wait till he was gone, and then she'd come out and take off with them. I said, man, that night I took her home at exactly that time, and I left. And lo and behold, she was going with them. So that kind of really burned me. But I said, well, maybe that wasn't the right person, and it wasn't to be. So I tried again. Got involved with another young woman, only to find out that the only thing she was interested in was the beautiful car and the money. Take me here, take me there. And she was ready to spend my money like it was going out of style. But when I started to get a little serious, she kind of looked at me, hey, no way I'm going to marry you. Oh boy. So now I've been burned twice in 3 years. So you know what my vow was? I said, never again. If anyone wants to get close to me, it's going to be my way or the highway. You play my game, or you can, bye-bye. So I hated women. I became a woman hater like you wouldn't believe. Anyone that tried to get close to me, bye-bye, hit the road. I'm not interested in your thing. Until one day I had this other girl that was very nice, but then I found out she was pregnant. But her boyfriend had dumped her. So she was getting to me and, will you take me to the doctor, take me here, take me there. I was a good Samaritan just to help. There was no attachment whatsoever. Now, I'd go and do it and help her out, thinking that maybe she's learned her lesson. Hey, boyfriend, once she's pregnant, he don't want nothing to do with her. So, okay. After she has had the baby, you know what was her first move? She went back to that very same boyfriend that had dumped her and treated her like a piece of rag that you just throw away. And I looked at that and I says, what in the world is going on here? So that strengthened my vow much more. And then, lo and behold, I come to the Lord in 78 in a big awakening at Queensway Cathedral in Toronto. And I had a dramatic change. And it's sometimes I hardly can believe how the Lord went about doing it. But I came to the Lord, and then this one is a new one. My old Bibles that I had and I started with, I don't even dare taking them out of the house because they're falling in pieces. I'd be taking them out there and you'd be finding pages all over the place because every page is loose in the book, so I don't dare take them. I spent every free hours that I had after my work days in that word, studying, questioning, and doing all kinds of things. And the Lord put prophets on my road, on my path, that said, you're going to have 3 months as I see you. And it shows like there's a table here. There, you're sitting down here. And there's a conveyor in front of you. But there is, you know, those old oven that some people have outside that are wood type oven that you bake beans and stuff like that. Well, out of that oven, there are breads coming down one after the other on that conveyor. And I'm at the end eating the bread. He says, you've got 3 months that you're going to do nothing but eat the bread. So you're going to be so full, it's not even going to be funny. And the guy came up out of Little Rock, Arkansas. He was born Canadian, but his mother had married an American after the departure of her first husband. And he was traveling all over the place. I mean, he was just doing the works of the Lord. The Lord would not allow him to work for wages or anything like that. All he did is serve the Lord and go wherever the Lord showed him to do. And here this one day he shows up in Toronto, and that's the message he gives me. And it happened. For 3 months after this guy went back to the States, I ate and I ate and I ate to the point where it was hurting. And lo and behold, through all of this, the Lord healed me of that vow I had made. And when God started using me again to share the word, the first place he sent me, you know where it was? This lady in Hamilton, Ontario, owned a Christian bookstore. And she organized a meeting one evening. And I thought there was going to be, you know, husband and wives in the place, and you know, so forth. So I walk in there, and it's just like the Lord put a veil in front of my eyes. I couldn't even see for looking. And then I start sharing the word. Her husband left. I saw him leave, but I didn't see anybody else leave. So I share the word that night, what the Lord had put on my heart to share with them. And at the end of the message, you know what I saw? There wasn't one single man in the room. All women, 35 of them. And I'm standing there. What is going on, Lord? Well, do you hate these people? No. I broke that vow and I healed you and I removed the hatred that you have against women. But you're not completely healed yet. There's going to be more healing. But because you gave me your life completely, you told me, I gave him the permission to do whatever it is that he wanted to do, no matter what. And I even added, if I start screaming, don't allow me to get out of your hand. Just go ahead and do the works, no matter what. I'm tired of his life, because if what I see around here is that's all there is, I don't want no part of it. I'd rather get in my car and hit the abutment of that bridge right there and be finished with it. I've got no desire whatsoever to live in this kind of life. So he did. He changed me. He removed some of the things from me that I didn't even know were there. And people say, well, didn't you have a rough time? No. I didn't even notice it until he would bring me into a situation and it didn't bother me. Just, there was nothing left. I just went on and did it and loved the people and did that. Even at the point, to the point that when I was at Queensway, on Sunday nights, there would be visitors coming in from far off, as far as Northern Ontario. Some people were coming in from 400 or 500 miles away. And you know what I was known as in Queensway Cathedral? The French Connection. Up north, in Northern Ontario, it was French people that were coming. So the English ones had a hard time doing the ministry towards these people. So I was the elected, and I would spend the rest of the evenings from, let's say, around 9:30 till around 11:30, midnight. Sometimes it even went up to 1 in the morning in motels all around Toronto. And that's how I discovered what the Lord had done. And I never had anything prepared in those days. But then I remembered that the Lord had called me. I knew that I was called to something. I thought it was missions at the time. So I went. I wanted to go to Bible college. He allowed me 6 months. But the last 2 months, he was giving me their messages before they even preached or even taught it. And I was having arguments with the Lord. Well, Lord, that's not what you taught me. You taught me this, you said this is this, and you said that. Yeah, I know that I gave you those words, but that's what they're going to use. They're going to give a bit of a message, and they'll give this verse as their proof, and then give another thing, another part, and then use that one as proof. And lo and behold, for 2 months, every morning, it was that way. And it says, now you get out. And that's what happened. I did. I had another problem with that one for the simple fact that the school was in my church where I was going, and the president of the school was my pastor as well. So you can imagine what went on in my head. So I said, Lord, you prepare the way, because I know what's coming if I tell them that. But he held them in place, both their arms with. And from then on, well, he took over. So remember this. He is the authority in us. Yes. And he said, I will build my church, my house, or my temple. And in 2 Corinthians 6:19, it tells us, you and I, we are that temple, that house, that church that he wants to use. He's the one, he wants to use us and send us wherever it is that he wants, but he is the one that does the ministry, not us. I haven't been able to prepare a message now for what, going on 4 or 5 years? I can't. He stops me. He gives me all kinds of messages when I come to write notes. I'm placing them live in your heart. And whenever I tell you to speak, just open your mouth, I will fill it. There are times that I brought messages and wondered, how come I veered off of that and gave that? Somebody in those assemblies needed these answers. You see, he knows everybody's hearts. I don't, but he does. So he does whatever he wants with whomever he wants at any time, anywhere, in any place, if we'll let him do it.
Put your hands towards him. Father, we release a blessing upon Ron. And we release now your traveling mercies as he heads back to home, not tonight, but soon as the Lord leads. And we just want to thank you for what you've given from his heart to our hearts. And all of God's people said?
Amen. Amen.
Share some hugs with each other.
Fellowship Sunday is this coming Sunday.
Okay, no food. Is that it?
No food?
Isn't that what you said? Oh, no, it is fellowship?
Fellowship Sunday.
Fellowship Sunday.
Is this week?
Yes.
I thought I understood wrong. I guess I did. Mm-hmm. Well, very good.
So we'll have lamb and chicken casserole
that I made for my family.
Freeze it.
Cool.
Much of it was eaten.
Cool.
Much of it was eaten.
Cool.
Much of it was eaten.
Cool.
Much of it was